Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Lisa Gardner, who's out with her new novel, Never Tell. In this story, police show up at Evie Carter's home in Boston. Her husband, Conrad, the father of Evie's unborn child, is dead, riddled with three bullets. And more curious, though, is Conrad's computer has been riddled with 12 bullets, and Evie is standing there holding the smoking gun. Domestic homicide, everybody assumes. But then Boston Detective D.D. Warren shows up and the story begins. Evie had been investigated in her father's shooting death years before. Flora Dane, the kidnapping victim who turned into a vigilante, is also back. And we learn that Conrad was friends with Flora's kidnapper, Jacob Ness. And it's a fantastic thriller that really pulls you along as the reader. Lisa, as Evie is arrested for killing her husband, the thought that goes through her mind is that she may not be able to plan the funeral. And I thought that was such an outside-the-box observation for you to give her in the book. Where did that idea come from?
Thank you, Brian. I wanted to capture Evie's just shock and kind of the random way our minds work when we're in shock. That on the one hand, we don't know what she has done or not done. We know that she was nervous when she was coming home. But I wanted to establish early on that she did feel for her husband. This isn't a black and white case of, you know, they were on the rocks or like they hated each other. That, you know, this marriage was real to her, and you know, she's on the one hand thinking as a wife who's grieving, while on the other hand, you know, there's a whole lot more than that going on too.
Well, you know, I've joked with my brother over the years that if he ever finds me dead, he should toss my phone and my laptop into the river before he calls anybody to report the body. In the book, the police think the destroyed computer is suspicious, but do you as a human being?
Well, yeah. So this is, again, what I was just trying to establish. My writing process is to develop a puzzle, and I don't even know the answers to these questions or what things might be relevant. It seems to me we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Everyone has secrets, even the people we love. And in this day and age, the repository for those secrets are the computer. So I also needed to kind of eliminate it, too, because you don't want to be able to learn everything right away. And you can see what we're trying to figure out is, it, does Evie shoot this computer because she's angry at what her husband did, or is she still trying to cover up and protect, you know, the legacy for her unborn child?
Well, Flora Dane is such an interesting character, and you've brought her back in this book, and she makes an interesting comment that she's a survivor, she's not a victim. Where's the distinction?
So some of the best research I've done as a thriller writer has been for Flora Dane. You know, she was once kidnapped and held for 472 days. When we meet her, that's her past. Except, is it? You know, she is that person that's trying so hard to move forward, but what an incredible level of trauma. So I've done a lot of work with survivor groups, talked to survivor advocates, and there is this very important distinction they try to help people make, kind of the beginning of the healing process, where you need to not see yourself as a victim. It makes you feel angry, that makes you feel helpless. The first step to the other side, to go from what they call surviving to thriving, is that recognition of your own strength. Whatever happened, Flora got out. She's alive. Jacob Ness isn't. She's not a victim. She is a strong survivor.
Well, and Jacob Ness, you know, he plays a bit of a role here. Flora's kidnapper, he's a monster who didn't like necessarily being a monster, and that's addressed in this book. He reminds me of Dexter Morgan on the old Showtime show. He knows what he is and what he does is wrong, but he accepts that that's part of who he is. Does this type of monster appear only in art?
No, actually, one of the things I love to do is research, and research on the criminal mind. At the end of the day, I really am a psychological suspense novelist. And when the FBI started the profiling back in really the 70s and 80s, what they did is they went and they interviewed in prison Ted Bundy and Edward Kempner. And a lot of these guys were very brilliant, but they were introspective. They definitely had a sense of themselves and their deviations. And some of them were even belligerent on the subject. You know, I am what I am. It's wrong for society to judge me. Because, of course, one of the first pieces of being a psychopath is also being a narcissist. I'm not wrong. The rest of you are wrong. And it's this interesting irony that is based from some real-life accounts where Jacob Ness, he feels like he's the victim because society won't accept him for who he really is.
And you mentioned the FBI profilers. There's also a group in the FBI that deals with survivors, right?
Yes.
Over the last few years.
One of the things that inspired Never Tell and helped, you know, me understand Flora Dane is when you have now in this day and age these high-profile crimes, such as a long-term abduction scenario. I mean, even the sensationalism of Evie Carter pregnant, standing over her husband's dead body, and she already is known for the accidental shooting of her father. These cases take on a life of their own. The media gets involved. All of a sudden, you, an everyday person going through a trauma, are going to have, you know, People Magazine and cable TV networks camped out on your front door. How do you handle all of that? And that's now where the FBI has created a victim advocacy bureau, particularly in the case of Flora, where she was held for over a year. Like, her mom never got to work again. Her job became trying to save her daughter. This is a very real-world scenario. I got to speak to a mom of a kidnapping survivor who fortunately, you know, 9 months later was rescued. And she said crime has become more like cancer. It takes out the whole family, and there's no going backwards. You just have to find your way to a new normal. But every member of the family is now impacted.
You acknowledge in the book the help of the Carroll County Sheriff's Department in New Hampshire. It's a rural department,
yes.
And so I did a little checking on that. What unique challenges does the ruralness of that department provide for law enforcement?
So I love living in the mountains of New Hampshire. And one of the things I'm looking to bring to thriller novels, and it's how our police officers or investigators have to operate up here, is really ingenuity. We don't have cameras everywhere. You can't rely on, oh, you happen to catch a shot at a traffic cam or at an ATM, you know, of the last person to see the victim alive or the killer turning the corner. We don't have access to a bunch of the high-tech toys. So it's a lot more still ingenuity, using what do they call social engineering, just good old-fashioned detective work and people skills. And it's interesting in this day and age because you do have to acknowledge technology and any kind of police procedure, but I think it's more satisfying for readers when someone like Detective Dee Dee Warren, it's her own innate cleverness she's bringing to the table, not just, oh, look, the computer search reveals this guy was walking down the block right after shots were fired. I think it's him.
Well, even with Carroll County, from what I understand, they have a lot of empowerment that other departments don't have because they don't have the time to go get warrants signed by judges, things like that, right?
Yeah, one of the in New Hampshire, our police are the most empowered other than Texas Rangers, and it's somewhat because of the similar dynamic. We're so rural, it can take hours to get back to a courthouse, and particularly in an urgent situation, you may not have that time. So our sheriff's department, the investigators, have the power to write and authorize their own search warrants, which is very unique. But as the investigators would like you to know, it's often just enough rope to hang themselves with as well. I mean, these search warrants at the end of the day must still hold up in a court of law. And so if they do it improperly, they can still have the results of the search, you know, thrown out in court, and they have only themselves to blame. So they have a lot of freedom, but with it comes a lot of responsibility, too.
You have a character naming contest on your website. Can you explain how that works? Because I love when authors do this.
Thank you, Brian. So, yes. For people out there looking for the gift for the person who has everything, we have on lisagardner.com the Kill a Friend, Maim a Buddy sweepstakes, where you can nominate the person of your choice to die in the novel. We've had people nominate themselves, their spouses. I think my favorite was a woman who, you know, nominated her husband, definitely wanted him killed, but at his request, she wanted him to be a badass first. biker dude, bald and covered in tattoos, and then I killed them off. They were both very happy.
That's so fun when you can engage readers like that, and people have to love seeing their name in print like that, right?
Yes, and it's all meant to be fun, and so far it has all been fun. There is a little like asterisk, like, you know, this isn't the means for therapy. I think thriller readers have a great sense of humor, and we all have had a good time with the content.
All right. Well, I had a great time reading this book. It's Never Tell. It's the new one by Lisa Gardner. The book's available wherever your fine books are sold. And if you haven't read Lisa Gardner before, go check out her other stuff. It's just truly amazing work. Lisa, fantastic offering here. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. C'est la vie, c'est des hauts côtés.